I wanted to read you a verse. Okay, here we are. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives him who sent me, or he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. We do this thing here, and I wanted to make sure that I never let us forget this. I mean, we don't say it all the time, so sometimes we just need to refresh and remind ourselves. Why is it that when the pastor gets introduced, people clap their hands? Well, it's really not for me. My wife knows that better than anybody. But the scripture here actually says, if you receive or welcome is the first receive, a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you receive, lay hold of. There's two different words in the original language for receive there. And I remind you of that once in a while. I've taught on it, you know, four or five times over 23 years to try to make sure everybody's on page with that. It's very important that we realize that when we make someone welcome, when we honor them as they come, that whatever they've got, we get to receive. Today, I get to introduce and bring Cord up to speak to you all. It's been a while since he has, but I'm looking forward to it. And you know, it says if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. Cord is very prophetic. He is, if you will, the house prophet. He's also been the vice president of our board for like ever, for like 20 of the 23 years I've been here, or maybe more. I don't know. What happened was he didn't show up to a meeting one night. He missed a board meeting, and Doug Bachman made him put his name forward as vice president, and he got voted in. That's how it worked. Not only is Cord a prophetic guy, and I appreciate his gifting in that, but something I've also noticed that I think is really important, and I say this because it's something that I want all of our elders to recognize. An elder, the word elder in the New Testament, isn't just, you know, old guy. In fact, he's been an elder way before he was an old guy. Now he's starting to be an old guy, but way before he started to look like an old guy, he was an elder. But what elder really has a reference to is it has a reference to a shepherd. A lot of people don't know that shepherd and pastor and elder, and I've taught on it before, I'll teach on it again sometime, they're all interwoven. You know, sometimes we think the only guy that's a pastor is the guy that gets paid. And I'm not the only pastor in this house. There are a lot of people who are behaving pastorally. They're shepherding people. They're helping people along the way. We all should be like the great shepherd, shouldn't we? And one of the things I've noticed about Cord over the years, and I thought I would just celebrate that before he comes today, is he's got a real shepherd's heart, especially when it comes to his students at school and his cross-country team, any of the kids that he coaches. He keeps an eye on them, and that's a valuable thing. And I know he has a shepherd's heart toward this congregation. He wants to see what's best for this congregation, and has for a long time. So we are very blessed and honored to have Cord Earhart come and speak for us today. Let's do that thing that we do and celebrate the man of God who's coming.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks, Pfeiffer. I appreciate it. The way I feel right at home. Some of you may not know me. I am Cord Earhart. What I do for a living is I'm a high school math teacher. So I thought we would start today with some proofs. Just kidding, I don't do that either.
Do we have to show our work?
Yeah, no comic format. Yes, Lisa, you would have to show your work, but I know I would be grading yours in pictures. And every couple minutes, my back pocket vibrates, so that's my payment for you. Okay, so today I'm going to talk to you about brand or branding, okay? Companies pay a lot of money for branding. Brand recognition is something that we all know about, whether we recognize it or not. every company that you see that buys commercial advertising today, any radio spot that you hear driving home, that is all forms and pieces of branding. One of my favorite things is jingles. Jingles stick with us a lot, sometimes far beyond the products that we use, right? So we're going to play link number one.
Roto-Rooter is quick first aid for clogs, sewers, and stopped up drains. The wonderful Roto-Rooter machine twists and turns and shaves lines clean. Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And wiggle troubles down the drain.
Roto-Rooter.
But that's the same jingle that they play in their TV commercial to this day. They've just modernized it, right? It's the same thing and shortened it. My current favorite one, and I was hoping Mallory would be out here today because we've been listening to a lot of Christmas music in the Earhart household. Primarily, it's a coping mechanism for me right now to make it through my daily life. For whatever reason, I find it very calming. I've been playing it in the background in my classroom, you know, some instrumental stuff. So whenever we get in the car, I have Christmas music on. Because generally when I'm in the car with my ladies, there may or may not be fighting going on. There may or may not be screaming at one another. It's just a daily thing. And, you know, they're always kind of calm in the morning, but on the way home from school, that 15 minutes from the bell being over and us leaving or getting home, it's a little stressful. So turn on the Christmas music to calm down, and it comes. I usually listen to Magic 95.1, okay, out of Fort Wayne, and their jingle or their station identification will come on, and my girls will spontaneously break into song, Magic 95.1, and I'm like, okay, all right. So I was gonna have Mallory sing that because yeah, she does it best of all. And it might be her fault that we do that, too. Anyway, so companies have commercials. They have jingles. And it's very effective in our age because we're always seeing some sort of ad, right? Including Facebook ads, which is we have, majority of us have witnessed. If we have a conversation about something random, right, Siri listens. And you have Facebook ads pop up. Pretty effective, right? You know, you talk about buying a shovel, and guess what? You're going to have a Menards ad. So, commercials do have a shelf life, as we just witnessed here. This might be from athletes or their spokespersons. One scenario I can think of is Billy Mays. You remember Billy Mays? Billy Mays could sell the paint off of a building, right? Yeah. Pretty much. And he passed away, so they had to come up with a new Billy Mays. And they did. The Flex Seal guy. Nobody knows who he is, but he's the Flex Seal guy. He makes boats out of window screen and Flex Seal. So, oh, and the Verizon guy. Can you hear me now, right? He switched, and now he's with Sprint, or maybe I have that vice versa. I don't remember. But these guys live on, right? This is all product of branding. Anybody have... I'm a teacher, so I encourage interaction. Anybody have a commercial that, like, you remember that had a long-running life? Yes. Yeah, the kid, right? The kid that comes in, that's a good one. The what? The Polar Bear Coke commercials. Yeah, those are still around, yeah. Energizer Bunny. Yeah. Oscar Mayer had a long run. No. The Marlboro Man. Woo! Boy, that's from way back.
He's now an outlaw.
What's that? Yep, that's a good one too. Play number two. Let's see if anybody remembers number two.
Christmas is a time for closeness, and closeness is what Norelco razors are all about. The shiny new silver rotary razors in cord and rechargeable models with 36 blades, 9 closeness settings, and no gotchas. And the Ladybugs, the ladies' razors that really work. And the Ladybug Salon, a ladybug razor plus 11 grooming attachments. Norelco, even our name says Merry Christmas.
Obviously, branding doesn't stop at products or people. I want to play one of my favorites. Play number three.
You know, Baker, I could help you with that.
Oh, no, it's fine. Thanks, though. A man should cut his own lawn.
There's a whole series of these, right? And they're all Progressive commercials. Does it seem odd that it's a Progressive commercial? Does. Why? They play at First Energy Stadium, right? But what's right across town? Progressive Field. So it's all kind of tied together in that Cleveland area, right? So it would make sense. Have you guys ever heard the term franchise quarterback? That's a big buzzword right now, right? So we're gonna play a little game. This will be really easy. I'm going to say a quarterback. You respond with the team. Okay? Real easy. Real easy. Corey's over there going, no. Just don't talk, honey. It'll be all right. She just gave me a signal. I'm not going to repeat what it was. Okay. First one is easy.
Detroit Lions.
Dak Prescott. I started with you in mind, Pfeiffer. Come on.
I just assumed you were
something. No, I am not. There will be none of those on this list because, yeah. I'm in the paper bag phase of my fandom. Brett Favre.
Packers.
Green Bay Packers. Patrick Mahomes.
Chiefs.
Peyton Manning.
Colts.
Even though he played for Denver, right, we associate him with the Colts. Tom Brady.
Patriots.
Cheaters. Yeah, I thought that might come too. Joe Montana.
Niners.
San Francisco, even though he had a stint, right? And at Notre Dame. Drew Brees.
Saints.
And John Elway.
Broncos.
All right, so I'll stop here. We could go on and on with this, right? But I realize that not all of you are football fans, like my wife, who is sitting over here, gritting her teeth. So, what makes a successful brand? I did what any self-respecting Gen Xer would do. I Googled it. Okay? So Google says, how to build a brand. Determine your brand's target audience. Establish a brand mission statement. Outline the key qualities and benefits your brand offers. So on and so forth. I got 10 of these. Okay? But obviously, I am not here to actually talk about how to advertise. No, I'm here because each one of us has a brand, whether we recognize it or not. Charles Barkley was a good basketball player, okay? Played in the NBA for a lot of years. He came out of Auburn at the same time as, I believe, Cecil Fielder? No. Who's the guy on the Nugenix commercials? Bo Jackson, Frank Thomas, and Barkley came out of Auburn at the same time. They were all there at the same time. was a good athlete. But he was quoted often as saying, "I'm not a role model. Just because I dunk a basketball doesn't mean I should raise your kids." Well, what Barkley didn't recognize is that he could have been a role model. People tend to end up in leadership positions. People who end up in leadership positions have a choice. Okay? They can either be good leaders, or they can be bad ones, or they can be no leader at all. And Barkley chose essentially to be no leader at all when he should have. Their influence and our influence precedes us whether we realize it or not. Anyone here ever had a challenging boss? A few, yes? What was the culture like in your work environment at that time? Not great, probably, right? Have you ever had a wonderful boss? Okay. How big was the difference in your work environment? Big, right? Day and night, night and day. That difference was probably felt because your leader's mentality did what? Well, the good boss, suddenly I can't talk, probably put your needs ahead of their own, right? And the bad boss, probably, there's something going on over here, and they might need separated. John, just, if it happens, just go dive in. You might lose some digits, but. Anyway. A good leader will put the needs of their subsidiaries ahead of their own. And a bad leader will do the opposite. They'll put their needs in front of the people they're leading. Sounds a little bit like a shepherd, doesn't it? Pastor's intro this morning was on point. Luke 15, 3-7 says, "Then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Now, majority of people take this as a call to shepherd, right? They take this as a call for evangelism. And that's true, okay? My heart is not necessarily evangelism. It's just not. I've found that my heart is to love people, okay? And that's my way of shepherding people. I just love them, okay? Yesterday, I had spent most of my day in Hicksville watching my daughters perform. I'm fortunate that I coach, work, and have my kids in the same school system. Now, are there issues that come with that? Yes, there are. I'm in small town Mayberry, okay? There's some problems there, but you're going to have that anywhere. But yesterday, I got to watch all my girls perform, right? And I also got to watch a handful of my cross-country kids sing and dance. And I made darn sure that I told my girls how well they did, and I also told those kids how well they did. I don't know if anybody did that for them, so I could be that person that did, right? It was an opportunity that I had. Rabbit trail. What would the good shepherd say about your brand? right now. What would he say about the Beth Bachman brand? What would he say about the Mike Van Scoter brand? Yeah, Mike, I wasn't ready for that. That caught me by surprise there. Wow. I'm not going to go with the next name I was going to say. What about the Julie Ousley brand? I'm going to knock that water over. It's going to happen. I do it about 3 times a week. Would he have helpful hints for us? Yeah. You bet he would. So, I give you the top 10 list, ladies and gentlemen, of how to make a successful brand, your brand. Man says, determine your brand's target audience. The Lord says, John chapter 13, 34 to 35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We've all been in situations, we've all seen those people. Yes, we're all sinners, right? But we've seen Christians give us a bad name, right? By not loving their neighbor. Number two, man says, establish a brand mission statement. The Lord says in Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. What is our brand mission statement as Christians? I'll let you think about that. We all have different ones because we're all different, right? We all have our each specific calling. Well, probably our calling is going to lead us to at least one group of people, maybe more. It's just the way that it is. We've been placed, chosen, bought, paid with a price, and put in a specific location for a reason. Three, man says, outline the key qualities and benefits your brand offers. The Lord says in John chapter 6, 53 to 55, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Our brand is his brand, right? He offers eternal life. It's our job to show people and tell people what his brand offers, right? We are his spokesmen and women. And for some of us, that makes us nervous, telling people about the Lord. For some of us, myself included, it's easier just to show it. Okay? And that's okay, and that's encouraged, in my opinion. John, what number was I on? I'm a math teacher, but I can't count. That was four? Okay. That was three. I'm on four. So it's like when you do rock, paper, scissors. Is it on three, or is it? Okay. It will. Okay. I thought John would say amen. Number four, man says, I should have brought a pencil. Create a brand logo. The Lord says in Mark 16, 17 to 18, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not harm them. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Miracles will follow us where we go, right? Testimonies will come from them as well. Unchurched people understand testimonies. Maybe they don't hear it as the word testimony. Maybe they don't associate it directly. But they understand the testimony because it gives them hope. It gives them something to believe in, something to look forward to. People need that, especially today. Number five, form your brand voice. The Lord says in Isaiah 6:8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am. Send me.'" Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know as if I made that distinction myself and made that choice so much as I ended up in a position and I was like, okay, I guess I can do this. Anyone else agree with that happening? I've said before, and I'll say it again, I consider my ministry to be my cross-country team and my teaching career. I became a cross-country coach on a whim, primarily because it was Corey's idea, if I'm being honest. We were out for a walk on a Sunday night. We went into town. We didn't have any kids. And the guy who was my coach literally drove up to us on the street, stopped, and said, "Hey, I'm looking for a cross-country coach. Would you be interested? Your name keeps coming up." And I said, maybe. How long do I have to decide? And I think he said 3 days. And I'm like, okay. So I thought about it, and she said, "Oh, I think you'd do great." Keep in mind, I was not a teacher. I had a real job, as I like to say. And it was a gateway for me. It was not something that I looked at as ministry opportunity. It was something that, quite frankly, I survived the first year. I started with 7 kids, I think. And I didn't think any of them liked me. I was pretty sure none of them liked me. I had no idea what I was doing compared to where I am at today. And I'm constantly trying things and changing things. But because I think that's how you progress and move forward. But it wasn't until we were at least almost through the season that I figured out that they did kind of like me. And it was good. And oddly enough, that was the fall of 2001. And what happened in the fall of 2001? 9/11. And that fit in to that season, and that helped show me that this was a realm of influence, if you will. We were supposed to have a meet that night. It was a Tuesday. And I remember, of course, when it all happened, right? We all do. And I got a call from my athletic director, and he said, obviously your meet's canceled. And I said, yeah. He said, do you want to have practice? Most of the other coaches are canceling practice. And I said, no, I think I want to have practice. He said, okay, no problem. And so we had practice, and kids are resilient, whether you guys realize that or not. I remember the one girl complaining that we didn't have our meet. Should have had our meet. Nothing's going to happen. Blah, blah, blah. And it taught me some things. Taught me that kids need structure. taught me that kids count on things happening the way they're supposed to happen, and that they have opinions, and they need to be listened to. And there's good in all that. It showed me that I could be somebody that would listen to them and give them advice. That's twice. And because they respected me, they would listen. So, as I have gone on, I have learned to try to hone those things, to try to do a better job at them. And in the midst of that, I feel like I have shown these kids Jesus. All right. Number 6, right, Fiverr? Okay, I'll hold my big toe up. Yeah, that was 5. I'm on 6. You know, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. But, yeah, okay. I'm always like, rock, paper, I'm on 3. It's not 3 and we go. Anyway. Maybe we're on 7. We're on 6. Huh?
Maybe you
should show your work. That's right. I got my work right in front of me, Lisa. Come at me, bro. Number 6. I know I'm on 7. Did I tie them together? Are you kidding me? I'm winging this. Okay. Number 6. Man says, build a brand message. The Lord says, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. How many times have we heard instant in season and out of season? A lot. Pastor, in his introduction, talked about how long Corey and I have been elders and around. And it's been a good deal of time. And we don't regret it for an instant. But instant in season and out of season for me draws me to a specific event. We were, I don't know how old we were, but we were definitely in the midst of creating and raising a family. And Pastor and Lisa were out of town for a weekend, I think, and we got a call. And they said, hey, there's a situation. Family in the church has a family member that is ill. They're in the hospital, and they got this baby, and this baby, like, needs to be taken care of. And so we just dropped whatever, and we went and we got this little kid for the weekend, and we just did whatever we could to help that family and bless that family and take care of their little one and be who we needed to be in the time, right? As a leader in the church, we were being the leader of the church. What were we doing? We were just taking care of a kid. Why? Because we were equipped to do so, right? We had the crib. We had all the stuff. We had everything. Where are you at right now that you have the ability to take care of things, right? We all have things. How many times has Jeremiah plowed snow for random people in the winter? Why? He's equipped for that. He has a heart to do it, and he can do it, right? We all have those kinds of things. We can all do those things. Seven. Got two toes up now. Okay. Man says, let your brand personality shine. Let your personality shine, Mike. Whatever, not no matter what Lisa says. Hey, he's from Paulding County. Us Paulding County people have personality. Right, Joyce? That's right. And we stick together. That's right. Even if it is, I mean, yes. I mean, Mike, I'm sorry. But, yeah, we're still, yeah, I know.
You're beautiful, Mike.
Okay. Moving on to 7. Let your brand personality shine. The Lord says, Matthew 5:15-17. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We live in a society right now that is unprecedented. I think we all recognize that, whether we want to admit it or not. Everywhere you go, you are on camera. Period. Lisa just said she has to look better when she leaves the house. I wanted that to be on tape. There, I got her. I got that one, Mike. All right. It's true that the amount of data, the amount of pictures, the amount of videos, the amount of anything that is out there is truly unprecedented and unparalleled. If we really are creating a brand for Christ, we need to try to show it at all times. There have been many people, take celebrities as just a for instance, right? That their personal brand, if you will, has come out that they were not a good person. Yes? And they have lost virtually everything that they had. We're in a society where you're going to be caught if you do something that's not good, right? If you do something that is unwholesome, they're going to catch you. You guys seen the doorbell cams and the doorbell videos? Most of them are hilarious, right? Guy coming up with the package and he sets it down and he falls down the stairs when he leaves. And there's like all kinds of them on America's Funniest Videos just from the darn doorbell cams. Poor people falling down. We laugh at them at their expense. It's a great time. But it's out there. So we got to watch ourselves, right? We got to do our best. We got to put our best foot forward. Like Lisa said, put your best foot forward. That's what you said, right, Lisa?
Yeah.
Totally, yeah. Number 8. Integrate your brand into every aspect of your business. The Lord says, 2 Corinthians 13:5-7. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. You guys remember the WWJD bracelets? What would Jesus do? It kind of got overused, I would say. But the thought is pretty darn good, isn't it? You're in a situation and you're like, okay, what would Jesus do? Probably not what I'm about to do. Right? In almost every situation, that's pretty close. But it's a good thought to have because it gives you an instant to stop, think, and then choose, right? Rather than just responding, out of a place that you probably shouldn't be. All good things. Number 9. Man says, stay true to your brand building. The Lord says, John 10, 25 to 30. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. So we need to stay true to our brand. Well, our brand is the Lord, right? And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit when he left this world. And the Holy Spirit's in all of us. Yes? So we need to focus on what's inside of us already. That still small voice that's in our heads, right? All we have to do is ask the questions and listen. It's my experience that when I'm in a situation and I need help, I just ask. And I listen. And almost always, I can get a response. Have there been times I haven't got them? Sure. Okay? But almost always, I can get a response. Number 10. Man says, be your brand's biggest advocate. The Lord says in Psalm 46:10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You guys have all heard that. Well, not all. Majority of you have heard this, so forgive me. And I wasn't going to go here, but I guess I am. That's my cue. Yesterday was December 7th. Majority of the world understands December 7th is to be the day of the Pearl Harbor bombing, right? For my family, it means something else. That's our son's birthday. Our son who's in heaven. At the time, memories are a funny thing because if they're truly vivid, you can go there in an instant. And with Camden being born, Camden was had a neural tube defect, which was anencephaly. So a neural tube defect means the back of the skull doesn't form and the brain doesn't form. And so the child cannot live outside of the womb. Essentially, they're on life support. Corey and I had two children that were anencephalic. They were born between Mallory and Emery. And Camden was the first. And the doctor said, this is really bad. This could be fatal to the mother. You need to induce and have him early. And we listened because we were young and we didn't know any better and we were afraid. And we had him early and we had him on December 7th. And in that time, we didn't know the plan, right? We didn't know God's plan. We were scared. We were afraid. We were human. And we did the best we could. Was it hard to show the Lord's brand at that time? You betcha. Were we probably a little angry? You betcha. Did we do our best to be humble and listen? Yes. Was it hard? Yes. We're all going to be asked to walk through some things that are hard, right? And in those times are the greatest time to show God, not to show God, to show God's love, to show His hope, to show His faith, to show His mercy to people that are watching. Because in those moments are the people that watch us the most. And usually it's the unbelievers. Because the unbelievers are like, how can you move on? How can you proceed? A good God wouldn't let this happen. We've all heard that one, right? And how we continue is our best way of showing the brand of our Lord. To close, I just want to challenge you to think about the brand that you show people. Because we all show a brand. We do. And it's something that I have, this has been on my heart probably for 6 months to share. It's kind of a weird way of approaching it, but if you're conscious of it, I think it gives you the first step in giving you a chance to see how you represent the Lord. One of my favorite things is we represent Jesus, right? So we present again the Lord. We do that through our outward appearance, our actions, the things we say, the things we do, places we go, all those things, right? That is your brand, folks. The things that you say on Facebook are your brand, right? The meme of the woman trying to vomit when it says, what I do when someone says OH. Right, Fife? Right? That is us representing the Lord. Well, that's probably not representing it in a good way, but it is what we are presenting, right? So be cognizant. I wasn't going to do that. Be present in everything we say, everything to do, and I guess be the one. Even though I wasn't going to say that, be the one. Amen?